Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Shannon Feltus.
I'm Bonnie Dutch.
And this is
You Are That.
We are two sisters who cannot take a compliment.
No.
Are interviewing the amazing and wonderful Carly Gibson, not to be confused.
Oh fucking Christ!
With
can
Carly.
I say that? Can
yeah.
I say? Just so you know, no. I curse a lot.
Yeah, not to be confused
absolutely
with. And
not.
Also, I came first, like in the world and also in the industry. So
very true. And you sing also. So I mean,
it is. I'll tell you this: it was one of the funniest things. I had no idea who she was, and then serendipitously enough, both of our albums came out at the same time.
Shut
so I wrote
up.
And released an album in the fall of 2011, which was the exact same time her sophomore album had come out. But I had no idea who she was. And of course, that was the album that boasted the number
like,
one
call
hit,
me maybe.
Call Me Maybe, right? Mm-hmm. And so for that, that's quite enough. I'll tell the story on my own. Thanks. So for in a complete 24 hours, and this is like, this is circa 2011. So like the internet's a thing, but it's not as easily and as accessibly fact checkable.
No.
So for 24 hours, I was full blown convinced that I held the number one song in the country because people were calling me left and right. I had friends from when I was in tour in Denver were like, girl, I just heard you on the radio. My own sister, my own stepsister, whose name is also Carly because like the depth of my identity crisis went very deep, was like, oh, I just heard my sister on the radio. She like put it on Facebook. It was a whole thing. I was like, is my album just so good that merely uploading it onto iTunes has caused such a frenzy in the music industry that I am now boasting the number one song on the Billboard charts? And for 24 hours, I believe that to be true until some very easy and humbling Googling, I might add, proved that to be a fallacy. And I was like, ah! And then of course, like the hilarity of it is we could not be more different. I mean, she's like a
totally
6'2" brunette, glamazon. I think she was like a bucko 5 soaking wet.
I did not know she was that tall until she stood next to Tom Hanks.
And I was I always picture her being
tall.
Like 5 foot.
No.
Because in my mind, everyone in Hollywood is like a teeny tiny person.
She's not though. So it was hilarious. I didn't think anything of it until like as time went on. If I introduced myself to somebody who was like, oh, Carly Rae Jepsen, I was like, please die in a fire.
I knew it. I was like, she's bound to have a couple of stories.
I love it.
This
I said, I like, I don't know if we should bring it up. Like, maybe it's like,
sore subject.
I don't know.
I mean,
like, I'm sure she's heard it before.
I tell you, I'll take that over Gibson. That was like the first plight of the beginning of my existence.
Yeah.
People, I would be like, it's Gibson. It's like Gibson with a J. And they go, okay, Miss Gibson. And I'm like, oh, I fuck it. Oh, I'm going to punch you right in the taint. It makes me so mad. Cause I'm like, I just, not only did I explain it to you, but I gave you like an example of how
maybe
it's not
little,
the thing you
a
just said.
Heads up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's infuriating. So.
Oh.
Yeah,
God.
Well, I get it. Feel your feels, but also, like, let's keep it down because mommy is doing something.
So mommy has a cute little
puppy. Can I validate you, but also, like, shut the mouth.
Name Brooklyn.
Because I'm an old school mom, and I will smack you in the mouth in front of company.
That's the only
go
thing
get
apparent.
The spoon. You know which
yeah,
one.
Yeah, you know which one.
Pick
and you
your
know,
switch,
you
bitch.
Know which
yeah.
one.
Oh, my gosh.
So tell our listeners how we know of Carly.
I fell in love with you because your character, Tickles, on Guestbook, is fucking hands down one of the funniest characters I've seen. My husband is in love with you also. It's fantastic. We've rewatched the seasons.
Oh, like, did you? Okay.
Of course. No, it is like, it is hilarious. The whole show is hilarious. But yeah, we fell in love with you on there. And then, but then we binged One Mississippi too.
Yeah. And I did the deep dive and I dug into your Broadway past. And she was like, I got to hear some pipes on you.
So much? And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh, like she's really.
Yeah, I listened to you and I was like, oh my God, she can, like, you can sing.
It's
but
funny
then you
because,
can Broadway sing.
But also, it's like a thing because I think I just recently kind of had this catharsis where I realized that since I moved out here, I've kind of unintentionally put my singing on the back burner. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until like season two, okay, you know what? I've absolutely had it with you. You're being so naughty. You're never this bad. And I was singing your praises. I was like, oh, she's going to be so good. And now look, you're making me carry you. And I'm that mom now that is like carry her dog.
You're so Hollywood.
You're embarrassing me right now.
She's like, I just want to be.
And I guess I didn't even realize that I had done that. Like I said, it was incredibly unintentional because I just, you know, I believe wholeheartedly that you have to put 110% focus into one avenue of your life in order to gain any real traction or
success. That's what we've been
and, like,
doing wrong.
And I mean, it's hard though when you
we
do
are master
when you,
of nothing.
When you spread it all out, you put 10% into everything. I kind of think that's what you're going to get back. And so I had done that part of my life for so long. And I loved it, but I was so ready to leave it behind because I was tired. You know,
it's hard to be a triple threat in LA too, and like it's, make every one of those things really sing. And yeah, be like not everybody's a fan.
Those are the rehab people.
Disney darling,
those are the ones that they burn out real fast.
Everybody doesn't need a Lohan.
No,
but also I just feel like I had checked that part of, you know what I mean. I was like, I did that, and I wanted to move on and try something else and do something else. And I guess I just don't feel like I have to prove it all at once.
No.
You know what
and
I mean?
And should a role come up where they're like, "Hey, we also need someone that sings," you're like "Got this."
Hang on.
Yeah, check out my resume, but
it's
whatever.
It's so funny that you talk about the guest book. It breaks my heart because, you know, we just found out that we're not returning for a third season. And
it
like
broke my heart too,
R.I.P. Tickles. It's just, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, I'm so grateful for the experience. Getting to work on the show is maybe one of the most rewarding experiences I've had in all of the jobs I've ever had, mostly just because of Greg Garcia and sort of the environment that he creates. He's one of just the most generous and patient and kind and incredible human beings. And he creates such an environment on set that allows you to both, and it not just allows, but also encourages you to both flourish and grow. And he gives you so much freedom within the constraints of a world that he's created so perfectly and masterfully. And so, and then of course, just the guest stars getting to come on was like a masterclass in comedy every single week. I mean, watching these.
So, like, each one was a surprise. You could not predict who was going to be on the next thing because it would just be like, nope, super wrong. It's
so random.
Way over here.
I know.
And then the next person, I'm like, really? Oh, I got to see where this goes. Like,
yeah.
It was really great. Like,
yeah, it was.
That needs to be resurrected. They put a pin in it and be like, we made a very large mistake.
Well, and there had been, up until that point, nothing out there like it. You know what I mean? It's a comedy, but it's an anthology. It sort of followed no sense of rules.
No.
And it was a lot of fun. And it was so rewarding for the series regulars because we didn't have that much work. It was kind of like it seemed like we were there all the time, but really the guest stars came in and like carried each episode, and then we just came in and were like, meh.
One of the things I loved the most about the show was there was always an end thing. For each season, there was always an end thing that was the same, no matter, there was a common thread of things, but like
continuity.
The fucking Roomba, man.
Right.
The Roomba got me, like, the Roomba would find an object that was, like, key to the guest, and then it was, like, pivotal to the whole scene. Like, find a shoe that was, like, lost at the beginning of the
thing.
Well,
that's what
or,
you
like,
figure out by
so
the
good.
End is that everything happened for a reason.
Totally.
Like, it feels chaotic up until the very end where you see that, like, everything was placed and planted.
Woven.
And exactly.
Completely.
Exactly how it was supposed to be. And that's the genius
just
of
Just good
Fred,
writing,
you know?
Man. It was such good writing.
I enjoy that, man. And I will miss Tickles more
it's
than anything.
Character.
And also just getting to play the dichotomy of her from season one to season two. He just let me play with that.
Yeah.
Like, he was like,
you guys
I,
should just like figure out a way where you can have like a Tickles YouTube channel and like a side thing where it's cool
also,
with him,
Fred
cool
always
you.
Wrote Tickles these really hot counterparts. Like Tommy Dewey
so
was my
much.
Season one. And then like Jimmy Tatro was season two. And I was like, thank you for just like letting me play with Man Candy for
it
both
was
seasons.
So good. And all of us were like rooting for you, like, yeah, get it. Yes.
I And both incredibly lovely human beings, too. I will say that because of the environment that Greg creates on set, there are zero egos. Nobody comes in and acts a fool. There are always a few people that are going to show their ass a little bit, but whatever. You know, but for the most part, like, everybody's just there to have fun. And it's like, we're not curing cancer. It was. I mean, that's, I think, what I'm going to miss the most about it more than anything. And who knows? I mean, Greg is very loyal. I feel very confident this is not the last we've seen of Greg. So I hope that our paths cross again.
Well, good. I'll be right there with the clicker waiting to watch some shit. Anything you
she'll
serve
be on
a
Twitter.
Plate,
we never use Twitter, but she'll be on Twitter.
Sorry. And One Mississippi was another one that got cut short in its prime. And that one was actually really hard because from a critic standpoint, the show was beloved. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was intelligent and witty and heartfelt, but also really relatable and incredibly palatable and deep and talked about real shit, but in like a real way. And I was such a huge fan of that show in season one that when I found out that they had this role in season two, I was like, I was really fanning out. I'm a huge fan of Tiggs. I love that. And I loved the show. And I remember sobbing through the first season because I lost my mom in 2013 to cancer. And then, of course, really fell in love with Tiggs' story. You know, she got sick and then her mom died and then she got breast cancer. It was kind of this whole sort of, you know, really kismet thing. And so when I went in, I thought, oh, this is a fucking long shot because these are names and like there's no way. And I know there was some bigger names up for the role. And I thought, I'm just gonna go in and do what I do. Now I'm from the South originally. I'm from Alabama. They were like, really feel free to like play with that. And after the audition, I remember I was so embarrassed because when I get nervous, like I completely black out. And I started off with like a hug. Like I went up to, there was like five people in the room. It was like Tig and Noah was in the room reading with me and like executive producers and casting and even the girl who was operating the camera. And they were all like stood up at the same time. And I went to hug Tig and it was like a weird moment where I was like, oh my God, maybe she doesn't
like to be touched
to
or
because, you know, she had the surgery and whatever. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, I'm just violating her fucking space. And here we go. And whatever. But she like committed to it. But she had her glasses like here. Yeah. In between. Oh, and so she was trying to figure out. So this is now taking way too long, right? No. This whole transition is taking way too long. And I was like, oh my God. So we hug, right? Thank you. She appeases it. But now I feel like I owe everyone a hug. So now I'm going down the line. Even
you're
the
like,
camera girl.
Make
her climb out from behind the thing. And I like hug her. And oh my God. And so now I feel like I have to say something about the hugging, and I was like I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm just kind of a hugger and I like to invade people's personal space. I mean, I'm really sorry if I did and whatever. And then Tig said to me right as and she goes, that's okay because we're gonna need a lot of hugs on set this year.
Aww.
And I kind of like clacked it and then I went and then walked out like a crazy person. And then I ran and got in my car and I called Garrett and I was like, you know, like you do when you're a little kid and you're like, and I was like, this is what just happened. I was like, do you think that means I got it? What do you think that means? He's like, well, I don't feel like she'd say that if you didn't. Yeah. And then I obsessed over it for 24 hours.
I just had goosebumps all over my legs.
I know, me
even.
Too. You're you're giving us more feels than any interview previously.
It
oh
was
God.
Crazy. And then the very next day I got the call that I got it. I couldn't believe it. And so walking onto set was really crazy because when you're a fan of something and you see it and then you go on that, you're like, you're inside, you're Alice in Wonderland. Like you took the pill and like you've gone down the hole.
Totally.
So it was crazy. It was really crazy. But again, with like not being able to speak highly enough about working with these people, I mean, with like Kate Robin and I mean, Tig is like just one of the most down to earth and accessible human beings, just somebody you want to be around, let alone work for. And the material was so smart and it was really weird because we, Louis C.K. was our executive producer. And of course, we were dealing with the whole subject matter of the Me Too movement really before the Me Too movement happened. Mm-hmm. And
there was like the ripplings of it, right?
It really was. Yeah. And so, you know, people always ask, like, what really happened? I don't know. I think there was maybe some of that. I think Amazon's really looking for their Game of Thrones and they're just not really interested in these shows that might be critically doing well, but just aren't making them a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
so look, true.
I get
it's like
it.
A numbers
you, it is.
Politics.
You look at your bottom line and you go, what's going to go? And sometimes it falls that way. So yeah.
Even fan favorites get squashed if the big picture is like, that's not the route they're trying to go
for. Absolutely.
Well, reboots are huge right now. They didn't see how long it has to be before you bring them back.
That's right.
I think there's a new trend that just needs to be called pick up where you left off.
Yeah.
Like, let's just unfuck it all and get it back. To, let's be back on track.
I like that.
It's a long hiatus.
I don't know. Don't wait too long because then, like, you know, Gilmore Girls.
Oh,
I was so pumped for that darn Year in the Life, and I watched it one time and was like, I can't ever watch it again.
About Arrested Development only because
it just felt weird.
Well, I get it because of a scheduling thing; they had to do individual episodes. But the magic of that show, was that it was that cast,
everyone playing off each other, and the energy fizzled out, and it was weird. And then you're like, they look different.
You're trying to catch lightning in a
bottle. All I watched it for was like everyone's plastic surgery.
There was some different looks. Some people were giving us some different looks.
It also starts to feel on some of those shows like you got some ex-boyfriends and girlfriends together at like all the friends got back together for Friendsgiving, but people had broken up, and you're like,
it's really not the same.
And they're just being like, civil and like. So we're gonna hop into our like nostalgic, you know, just sitting around hanging out, girlfriends talk. But we want to know more about your past, your like kiddo past.
In. Oh, my little kid past.
All the things.
Sleepovers and shenanigans style.
Yeah.
Do you have a crazy memory of you either hosting or attending a slumber party?
Oh, so many. I mean, listen, like it was always like whoever fell asleep first, you get your bra put in the freezer.
Yeah.
Classic.
Right? Yeah. So classic.
I slept in my bra so people couldn't do that. You did. I had no boobs. I was like, you're not taking this shit.
You're like, you can't have
It's probably full of toilet paper, so you can't have it.
Yeah, you're like, I'm not taking those out.
No, those are my boobs.
Oh, man. I was kind of bad early on.
Same.
I feel like middle school was always about trying to hang with boys, smoke cigarettes, drink Everclear, like that kind of just terrible choices. But like being younger, it was always about the prank calls.
Yes. We want everyone to start pranking again because there's just such a simple joy in it.
Such a good joy.
Your number neighbor thing trend that's going around.
That is so creepy. Oh, no, my God. You haven't seen it?
Huh. Oh,
okay. So you text this, I find a
your number name. Oh, so like who could have maybe got called by
the last number of your thing, either up or down, and you text them and you say, hi, number neighbor.
Ew.
But some people are fucking weird.
Some people really take it to a place.
Right. I would instantly block somebody if they're like, hi, number neighbor.
What if I text my number neighbor right now and we'll just see what happens?
Yeah. Oh,
should I?
Oh, my God. Fuck.
Okay. Should I go up or down?
Down.
Okay, shit, how do I do this? Okay.
Oh, shit.
Okay. Well, first you have to remember.
Don't say your number.
No, no, no.
We wouldn't put it on. Oh, this is so funny.
Okay. Hey, number. I got to spell it right. Neighbor.
If you have a zero at the end, you only have one number, neighbor, can you flip it to nine?
Oh, I don't know. I guess.
Yeah, that's up or down.
Okay.
That counts.
Yeah, okay. This is like gonna get me. I have pure anxiety right now.
I love it.
It's New York too, so you know somebody's gonna be like,
"It's
who does
what the fuck?"
Mm-hmm. They're like, "It's bedtime in New York."
No, it's not
for some kid. I
hope not.
It's just, you know.
What if I do have a child's phone?
Oh, well, we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it.
Ask them what level they are.
Well, guess what they are.
Then you have to send
fucking Android because they're green.
So you
we're learning a lot about this person already.
So then you have to do the old school thing where you do the ASL. Age, sex, location.
Okay, guys. Okay.
That's the next thing.
I'm going to do it too.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
This feels haunted. I feel gross. Up or down? You guys just. I have a nine at the end. So zero?
Oh.
Yeah. Either way, it's down.
It would be zero.
Yeah, go zero.
But eight's my lucky number.
Okay,
go eight.
Oh, God, you guys.
So supportive.
Why did you ask us when you already knew what you wanted to do?
Because this Bonnie's is my so life and I'm indecisive. Right. By the way, I'm really indecisive.
This is hilarious for me. So while Bonnie's texting her crazy person, we talked about how some people don't know how to use Star 6-7 appropriately nowadays because everyone
Which
has caller
Star
ID.
6-7 or Star
it blocks 6-9. Your number.
Block.
Star 6-9 traces who it is.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't tell you what number it was. Yeah. It would just call it back.
Oh, like that's right. That's right.
It would just then it would be a fucking mystery whoever answered the phone.
Yeah,
that's true.
So you had to be like you had to do your best like Perry Mason detective
totally
work and figure out.
Or it'd be like somebody's mom answering because they weren't supposed to be calling you at 12:45 at night.
Right. God. Jaw pager.
Yeah, I was. She had a pager because she was older than me, and then she moved to Japan,
and they needed to know where I was.
She moved to Japan, so for eighth grade, the summer between eighth grade and freshman year. I had a clear pink pager.
Because everybody teased me because I wasn't very girly back then. But I got neon pink, so none of the thieving boys would steal my fucking pager. I'd text our friends boobs on the pager.
Yeah.
I got really drunk 7th grade New Year's Eve, and I lost it in the snow. And the paper boy brought it back. That's how small my town was. He was like, He like put it in the mailbox with a note that was like, I think this is yours.
Aww. Where are you from? You're from?
In Michigan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's where I grew up.
Where have you, where have you lived?
All over. I was born in Alabama and I was raised there for the like the first part of my life. And then we moved up to Michigan when my folks split in 89. And then I lived in Michigan until I was 17 when I got scouted. And then I went on the road with Hairspray. Then I was on tour for a year. Awesome. And then I went to New York when I was 19 and opened, did the show on Broadway. Then I was in New York until 2012. When my mom got sick, I went back to Michigan to be with her until she died in 2013. And then I moved out here in 2014, and I've been here ever since. Yeah, I've been all over.
Yeah. Wow.
Travel-y career thing, too. In my teenage years, I traveled a whole ton and went all over the place and then landed right back where I started. I didn't try to go come down here and conquer anything or be cool. I was like, it's just never going to happen. Know your limitations. You are not a singer.
You just, I think you got bored with being told what to do.
Yeah, and they were like, you can't dye your hair. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. Yeah, and I put sun in my hair.
She put like tons of piercings in her hair.
What sun in was?
Acid. Horrible. I don't know what it was. But I showed up blonde to, so I did modeling for a little while and I showed up to a photo shoot. It was supposed to be prom dress season. So it was like the big, like Macy's prom dressy thing. And it was supposed to be a blonde girl and a brunette girl. Well, I showed up a real brassy redhead and the blonde girl was like, and she was very classy and I was just trash. I shouldn't have been doing that job, but I showed up like, yeah, you get what you get. And they were like, too late now. They put it in black and white. Cause they were like, we can't fucking fix her dumb head.
And this was like the 90s. So they couldn't Photoshop that shit.
No.
Girl, I can make your hair any color.
It was so funny though. Cause I was like, no, I want tattoos and I want to be able to do whatever I want. So,
yeah.
So what's the update on your text? Do you got anybody?
Yo, my number neighbor just sucks.
What a bunch of losers.
Yeah. You want to try our other, like, let's go the opposite direction.
All right. Which way
maybe like maybe I should make it sexier.
Okay, I see. I'll go this way now. Oh yeah,
like sex sells. I never knew this was a thing, and it's honestly it I'll makes me feel.
Let's do it.
It makes me feel gross.
I know. Let's see. Watch. I'm the one that.
Okay. Do you guys want to hear a beautiful story though?
Yes, tell me a beautiful story.
So I once texted our little brother, and I didn't know he had changed his number, but it was our dad had just passed away.
Oh yeah.
And he had so many numbers at one point saved in my phone that I was just like, text the brother, and I sent it and it went to an old number, and somebody wrote me back and they said, I'm so sorry to hear about your loss, and I'm so sorry, and you know, I really feel for you. Unfortunately, this is not your brother. And
that is so kind, and
I was like crying, and I just reached out and was like, you're the nicest and thank you so much and I'm really sorry. And they were like, no, it's totally fine. Like 2 days later, they text me again and they said, you know, I've been thinking about your family a lot and, you know, I hope everything's doing okay. And I feel like you were meant to reach out to me. And I was, this doesn't feel creepy at all. It's like there was nothing about it where I was like, this is gross.
No bad vibes.
It was just a good human. So instead of deleting that number, I just saved it in my phone as like guardian angel or something random. And my phone had died a while ago, like my old phone.
Yeah.
Or like reset and like delete everything. So I lost all those messages, but it just, in that moment, so I feel like had I reached my brother, I would have gotten a totally different response, but and maybe just been sad for 2 days.
Your faith a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, that is not the response I got after my mom died. I used to text her when I got sad and I would just like be like, I miss you wherever you are, blah, blah, blah. And finally, like,
oh,
6 months later,
somebody else got the phone number.
And
I used to call my dad's voicemail. Oh gosh.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
They're like, stop texting me.
Yeah. They were like, who the fuck is this? And I was like, I'm really sorry. I thought I had them, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, when you think you like, you have somebody when you're like, oh, you're about to feel really fucking bad right now. I was like, actually, it was my mom's phone number and she passed away. And from time to time, I get sad, blah, 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 blah. Expecting them to be like, oh my God.
And they were like, you're crazy.
Yeah. Whatever they look for. This ain't her phone no more. And I was like, oh. I was like, okay. And for the record, that number is 231-343-0890. So if you want to
go ahead and call
them.
Oh my God.
Let them know they's a dick.
Right.
I was like, shit.
That is so.
Oh man, prank calls for the win.
No prank call.
Karma. Yeah. This will be karma.
Blow that shit up.
Okay, I have a weird question for you because you have real good hair. Mm-hmm. So this is an obscure question. If somebody wanted to pay you $150,000 to shave your head. Continue your normal activities without a hat or a wig, but also without explaining a goddamn thing about why you have a haircut. Would you do it?
No. No.
You have excellent hair. I had a feeling you would say no.
Well, A of all, this one is a wig. I've been playing with new wigs recently.
Wait, is it?
Really?
Yeah, this one is.
No
yeah.
way. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah.
The hairline.
I've been
I feel like you're fucking with us right now.
No, I'm just pranking. You can feel
it's like golden. It's beautiful.
Oh my God. That's so pretty. The hairline is amazing.
Yeah.
It looks real.
Dude.
But, yeah.
Oh, my God. You're so cute.
I'm hiding it. And then you just have to grow. You just have to snatch your edges. You just have to pull your edges.
I like that.
That's a good wig.
Well, here's the thing. My hair naturally is very thick and crimpy and curly and frizzy. And so it takes a lot of work for me to, like, really beat it out. And I don't have that in me all the time.
Yeah.
And we were swimming all this week at this thing for Garrett's birthday. And I just did not feel like blowing my weave out and doing all the thing. So I was like, I'm going to put a wig on today. And that's how going to go. And it takes, like, all of 8 minutes to do.
You're adorable.
I really need to get into wigs.
With colors. I'm much more blonde than this.
I was going to say.
A very, like, caramely sort of like, yeah.
You got a little balayage root going on there.
I was playing.
It's cute.
I used to bump my hair all the time. When I had dark hair, I got off a tour bus and it was like, it was outside of a venue and my friends were on tour and I got off the tour bus and somebody said, oh my God, are you Adele? And I said, I don't know who that is, because it was like a year before Adele hit here. And then I Googled her and I was like, I don't look like it. I was really mad.
I'm changing my hair.
No, but I was way thinner than this. Right. And she was way bigger than she is now. Right. So I was like, motherfuckers.
I'm not having
that. Yeah, I look more like Adele now.
My friend, who is gorgeous, she's dark. Well, for when she had dark hair, and she's a lesbian, always gets mistaken for Lea Delaria. And she's like, God damn it. And she's like, I'm not. And it's literally could not be further from, I mean, that's what she, now when she has dark hair, sure.
Oh, okay. Like, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Right. Do you know what I mean? Like that. Yeah. And not to say Lea Delaria is not gorgeous. I'm not talking shit about her, but like, but like, that's.
Yeah.
But like,
it's like she's got that like strong square jaw
and
sharp eyes. But that's about it. See, I think people are blind that way where I'm watching a movie and at the end of the movie, I'll turn to someone and say, did you notice they had Jesse Eisenberg's chin and mouth, Seth Rogen's eyebrows, and so-and-so's ears? And somebody goes, oh, I couldn't put my finger on it. You got all of it. And I was like, I'm good at it.
Right.
It's like my one skill is finding traits.
It's a weird trick because like there was a movie that we paused and my husband's like, what are you doing? I was like, hang on.
Something.
We'll
pull up Lana Del Rey on your phone.
Right.
I covered the chick's face. And, like, from here up, just the bitch face and the tips. And he goes, huh. And I was like, that's all.
I literally could not see it. I just
needed you to see what I saw. And I can't unsee it.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
And the character didn't sing, and I was very disappointed.
I think living in L.A., I always assume that it's never them. Because I'm like, that's not them. That's somebody who's trying to make a career looking like them or, like,
the whatever.
She literally said that yesterday. We went to a random grocery store, and it wasn't even, like, I'm a rich bitch, and I only shop at this organic grocery store. It was just, like, grocery store.
Albertson.
She went in there, and she came out, and she was like, I feel like half these girls, like, people look like they were celebrities in there. And then but she was talking it out among, I was just listening. She was talking about amongst herself and she went, but I feel like the people with no makeup and the hats on are the actual famous people that came out of their little hill houses and they maybe just ran in because milk was there.
Right.
And then the girls with the makeup on are the girls that are like, discover me in the Albertsons.
Right.
And
that's exactly
I'm a cantaloupe influencer.
That's exactly true. Because you can't be bothered to beat your face all the time.
Every day.
And so mostly you're just trying to
wearing camera makeup, that's like 3 inches, you know, caked on with light sweat. When you're under those lights and they touch you up, you go home with like 8 pounds of makeup on.
Yeah. Right.
So when you come home, you're like,
get this off my skin.
Gwyneth Paltrow, what can I goop all over my fucking face to like feel
like a human
free again?
Yeah. And this girl had so much highlighter on, she caught the light. Where are you?
We're like, okay, queen.
Yeah, fun. We felt hella granola just like walking around.
I was wearing Birkenstocks and I was like, am I cool or am I not? Or am I somebody's mom? Whatever.
Yeah, you don't know who I am anymore.
I'm not like a regular mom. I'm like a cool mom.
I'm
like a granola mom. It's fine.
She did the wink. Let's talk about the strange things that bring us joy.
Ooh.
What are some of your guilty pleasures or just simple pleasures in life?
Oh my God.
Things that make you go to yourself.
I think
sequined pillows are on.
I mean, yes.
I love the amount of sequin pillows.
It's funny because so I'm obsessed with drag culture, and I always have been.
You have a picture with RuPaul.
Well, that story is actually quite hilarious / traumatizing. I'm happy to share it. So I fell in love with RuPaul like most of America did in the 90s watching MTV.
Yeah, we would practice our runway.
I had the CD. I remember when my mom had to explain to me, I was like so confused because I was like, oh, is that what I'm going to grow up and look like? And my mom was like, no, that's a man. And I was like, I don't get it. And my mom was like, listen, you're going to be your own kind of woman. That's a kind of woman that you can't be. That's an unobtainable beauty. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
What a beautiful way to describe RuPaul, that's
a different kind of beautiful. You're going to be your own kind of beautiful, but you're not going to be a 7-foot-tall glamazon. I'm very sorry about it. And she was right. I wasn't. But when I went on tour, like I've been surrounded by drag queens my whole life. And so it's why I usually don't even go anywhere without lipstick and a 301. Like
it's a very uplifting yet insecure place. Like you get all the compliments in a way that doesn't feel gross. I think drag culture empowered me
not in a way of like, not so much in like the gay best friend, like Will and Grace sort of generic, stereotypical way, but drag culture to me was about celebrating your individuality and like bringing what your was inner, inside and putting yes, it on the outside exactly, right yeah. And so that was limitless and that's why I think like makeup and all of these and all, you know, costumes and all these things really excite me and turn me on because it is incredibly limitless and it's incredibly powerful.
It's like Halloween all the time.
that fantasy all the time and be who you are, but it's an extension of who you are. It's not a cover.
Yeah,
it's not armor. It's not hiding who you are. It's accentuating. And so I loved that. And I became incredibly free and sort of liberated by those friendships and those experiences. So I think that that's, you know, the long story short is this was my first year doing DragCon 2 years ago. And I was shooting the second season of The Guest, but at the time I was really sick. And I went to the doctor and I was like, I was speaking on panels. I was doing all bunch of shit at DragCon in the middle of filming. And I was like, I can't be sick. And so she's like, okay, I'm going to give you antibiotics. But instead of a 5-day Z-pack, she gave me a 3-day, which is the same amount of drugs packed into 3 giant horse pills.
God, it makes
I was like, great. Just give it to me. So I took one Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. And Saturday, I thought I'd wake up and feel great. I woke up on Saturday. I had never felt worse. I was giving you full cold sweats. Just the whole like out like of you're body shaky. Experience. Oh God. Yes. You're like very Bambi that. Legs. Very that. Just slimy and so I'm trying to beat my face because I want to look fierce. It's drag con. Right. And I can't get my makeup to stick to my face oh, and like my hair's crimping like at my edges and it's just I'm just trying to, and my boyfriend's trying to like patronize me, but I was like, don't fucking patronize me. You know what I mean? When you're that kind of person to the people that love you most and you treat them like shit.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was that.
Yeah.
You're going to come in my circle of crazy right now. I'm
throwing things across the room and he was just like, I'm out. I'm going to work. Good luck with your projects. And so at this point, I can't cancel because the gentleman who was show running Drag Race at the time, was also a friend of mine, got me on the panel, was picking me up in a car service on the way to the convention center. Like, there's no getting out of it. And so I was like, fuck it. I pulled it together and we go. The car comes and gets us. My manager's with us. We meet my friend Jesse there. We go. We're walking around on the floor for a while and I'm saying hi to a few queens that I know, like Ginger Minj and Pandora Box. It's just girls I've known for a while. Saying hi. Hey, girl, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. But meanwhile, I'm as clammy and disgusting as it gets. And I'm cold sweating down my back. And I just feel, and I'm sniffles. And my friend Rob, who says to me, is like, would you like to meet Rue? And I was like, yes, but not like this. And so I don't have a choice. So Rue's got this huge meet and greet line. And he's in this like encaged box so that you can't take a picture from afar. You got to get in there and pay your monies. And so they shoo me up to the front of the line. This is where it gets so interesting. And the handler had passed me off to another handler that had passed me off to Rue's handler, right? And I get in there. And I mean, Rob had told me, don't tell him you're sick because he's a germaphobe. So blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm hiding this very well.
This is what nervous.
I'm coming down from meth.
Exactly. Like I look like I just crawled out of a swimming pool and like trying to put a lash on. So I get in right before I go into the room. They go, this is Carly Gibson, Tony Award winner of Hairspray. And I go, oh, no, but it's too late. Yeah. They're like rushing me into the room and I'm like, oh my God, he's going to think I'm fucking crazy. He knows Marissa.
Yeah.
Like they're friends. So he's going to think, who's this crazy? Because there's different types of meet and greets. Yeah. There's meet and greets with like the fans, and then there's meet and greets when there's like
industry people.
Right. Industry people. And so he knows this is an industry meet and greet, but now he's like, wait, this isn't who that. No. So now I'm meeting him under these pretenses where like, oh, I look insane. Now he thinks I'm a liar, that I've like lied my way into this to get like a crazy person. God. So it's like not going well. And then because I'm sick and this is like a full-fledged moment for me, I start crying.
Of course.
Because I don't feel good and I can't believe this is happening. And I wish that my mom were here and she's dead. No. And I'm crying because I'm sick and it's a whole thing.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm trying to pull it together. And he's looking at me like, he's like, okay. And I was like, oh no. And I know what that look means, but I can't, like, I can't turn around. And so finally he's like, would you like to take a picture?
Oh God.
And I'm just like, thank you for everything that you've done and everything. And he was like, great. Why don't you stand
here? Let's get this over with.
Right. And he's like, why don't you stand here? So I'm standing on the X, right? And now cut to after I got home, I look at all the Instagram pictures of it. Everybody else is fucking cheek to cheek, arm to arm. If you look at this picture, not only is it looks superimposed, A of all. It looks fake because
the
background, because of the background, because of the way I'm standing in front of him, he's like barely got his hands on my shoulders anyway.
He's also a million miles taller
than me.
Huge. Mammoth, right? And I'm a Polly Pocket.
Right.
So we get done taking the picture. That wasn't even the worst of it.
Oh God.
We get done taking the picture. I leave. I'm like holding my picture. I'm like shaking. I'm like, will someone please tell him that I know that I didn't win the Tony for Hairspray. Like, Jesus.
And you were given bad information. That wasn't my fault.
And I didn't do that.
And they're like, yeah.
And so now we've got about like 20 minutes before the panel is about to begin. And I was like, and it's like me and like Frankie Grande and Cheryl Lee Ralph and Alexis Michelle and like a bunch of people. And so my manager was like, I'm going to get a drink at the bar. I was like, all right, let's go. And then we'll walk upstairs. And I'm sitting there and I was just like not feeling good. My throat got dry. And so I coughed and I full blown shit my pants. Because I'm on antibiotics, and anybody who's on that much antibiotics knows that it's full liquidation. It's an everything must go sale. Like, it's
my pharmacist. Just, last time I got him, she said, "This make you big poop."
Yeah,
and I had to clarify. And she said, "The diarrhea."
Yeah. So am now standing on a convention floor with tens of thousands of people.
Who are watching you.
I mean,
we're looking at you, to look at you.
I don't know if anybody's really like clocking it. I say to my friend Jesse, I go, oh my God, I have to go to the bathroom. Because at this point, I don't know what I'm dealing with yet.
Yes.
I just know that we have lost a little bit of control. Right. And so the only bathroom was the talent bathroom that's upstairs. And it's on the second floor of the convention. So you have to but security's really weird about which way you can go. So I have to go up these stairs. Now I'm running up the
Otherwise,
stairs.
Otherwise, they make you go down and around.
Running. Oh my because God. I know that I have a limited window of time here. God. Like, there's an expiration date on this.
Pants?
I'm wearing pants. I'm wearing jeans. And thank God, like a tunic type shirt that was a little bit longer.
Dress, and I was panicking.
I'm in jeans and like a tunic top. I get to the top of the stairs and this woman, Barb, who like runs all of World of Wonder, is standing there and she's like, Carly. And I blow past her.
Don't squeeze me.
I have time for this. I was like, I've got to go to the bathroom. And I go into the bathroom. Now, this is the talent bathroom where all the queens are at, right? This is like the way. And it's like tons and tons of stalls. I run into the stall. I pull my pants down to like assess the situation. It's bad. I have to ditch my underwear. They no longer are part of this journey with me. So they go into the trash can and my jeans are dark, but I'm like, I have to clean them. But now like, I can't walk out into the thing. I've got a full Winnie the Pooh situation going on. I'm all tops and no bottoms. So I can just like walk out, cooch to the wind and be like, what's up, queens? I'm going to wash my shit pants if you don't mind.
I shit my pants. I'm one of you.
Crazy homeless lady. We have to get her out of here.
She's clammy. This is awkward.
It's a whole thing. So I am now, I've like cleaned myself off. I am now rinsing my pants in the clean toilet water because I flushed a couple times. And I mean, and I'm trying to wring them out and I hear like, Carly, we're at 10 minutes. And I was like, okay.
Oh, God.
And I'm like rinsing my pants out and I'm trying to get them dry. And I'm and I'm shaking in his bed. And then I had to make the call. Like, I got to put my wet shit water pants back on. So I like, and you know, like, they're hard to get on.
Oh God.
Thank God they're all dark. So like, you can't really tell. I had perfume in my bag. So I smelled like Bath and Body Works when you walk by that fucking thing and you have an immediate headache. I sprayed all the perfume all over myself. Oh my, I walked out into that mirror. I like pulled my lipstick and my eyeliner out and was like shaking in the mirror and was like trying to get my hair. And I was like, I'm okay. And I walked out.
I'm very pretty.
And I did just the panel.
Like, I'm just like laugh breathing in the microphone.
Like, my stomach is in knots for
you. I sat through that whole panel just praying that I didn't smell like human feces.
Yes.
I got
you start going like,
I don't even remember it. And my manager comes over because he knew that I was sick. He didn't know what happened. He's like, well, I think that went really well. And I was like, yeah, you have to get the car. I shit my pants. We have to go home. We have to leave immediately. And so he's like, oh, fair enough. And I got home that day and Garrett got home from work and he was like, so how did it go, babe? And I was like, oh, it's the worst day of my life. And he's like, you're so hard on yourself.
So
I bet it went so much better than you thought. And I was like, I didn't come home with the underwear I left with. I shit my pants. I cried in front of RuPaul. It was the worst day of my life. And he was like, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. So you want some soup? I brought you some soup.
So Grubhub, we're going to order you a whole new life.
Comfort. What comforts you?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Girl.
So I put that picture on the mantle.
As a reminder of how far you've come.
It was the most hysterical thing. And I just thought, of course, that's how I met my hero. And of course, that's what happened. And so I put it on the mantle. It's literally
it's
like
beautiful.
Me and Garrett, my beautiful friend Kat, who passed just this year, and me and RuPaul.
Beautiful.
More people that have shit their pants need
to talk
to
about
share
it.
Yeah, you their story. Forward. Because I think everybody has
you're
a shit
not
story.
Alone.
Everyone has shit their pants. Story. I don't care who you are.
The coughing and the sneezing
yeah.
are the biggest fears when you have A, thrown your neck or your back out or you got the diarrhea bubbles.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, you gurgle and then you're like, oh my God, the sun, the direct sunlight.
Whatever,
I can't
you
look
guys,
into the
just
sun.
Getting older. Sometimes I sneeze. I'm like, well, I peed a little. That's cool. Welcome to whatever the fuck stage this is.
Yeah.
It's 100%
true. Or when you're on your period and you're like, oh my God, what just happened?
I call it the drop. And it's a question mark.
That's how you know you found the one because I feel bad because I'm always like, Garrett, I'm so sorry. And he's like, baby, what are you going to do? Like, it's fine. And I remember thinking like 5-10 years ago, that would have been the most.
Oh, they would have.
That would have been the story in the back of the Cosmo Girl.
Oh, yeah. Like,
where you're like, and he never called
me
back.
Right, exactly. Oh, my God. You just invoked the Holy Bible.
Okay, real talk.
A Cosmo Girl.
I did get broken up with. Because of my period. Because, this is... I went swimming with a bunch of boys. We swam in a lake. It was period time, whatnot. Yeah. I swam, did all the things. We're out in the wilderness. We all get back in the car. We're all headed back. And when we got out of the car, stained the seat of his friend's car.
God damn it. And that's the thing that you're always afraid you're going to do.
And I was with all boys. And I got out and I reached back in for my towel. And so did the person on the other side. And he went, whoa. And we're all in high school.
Because guys don't know what to do.
They also just don't get it.
I also wanted to be like, if it's not... You guys do gross shit all the fucking time.
Yeah. Bust me out in front of everybody.
And everybody talks shit much to that boyfriend that we hadn't even ever crossed the boundaries of like, he hadn't even seen my boobs yet. He hadn't even dipped a toe in. And he was like, no, fuck this. Not worth it.
Yeah, but I bet wherever
that girl
is,
bleeds, no girls should bleed.
Right. Wherever he is now, he's washing period panties.
Dude, because
they
hope
all eventually do.
You know, I think he has two daughters. So
so shameful of like pretty much every bodily function in my life. And my boyfriend says stuff like, I'm like, my tummy hurts. And when I finally have a little like, fart, and he thinks it's adorable because like my farts
like
sound
out,
like
babe,
a gnome. Yeah, and he'll be like, there she is.
Yeah.
Are you feeling better? You got any more? You got, come on. And I'm like, I try real hard for him. I'm like, hold on. No,
but don't try
nothing.
Too hard because then you'll shit
then you shit your pants. But here's the thing. He's such a winner that I feel like if I was like, oh, babe, I shit my pants, he'd be like, well, go.
Right.
Let's get you to the bathroom.
Garrett always says that. I'm always I'm so gassy. And then when I do, he goes,
oh my God. My husband and I, when we were first married, we're still fine with it, but like, it's funny because when you first have conversations, it sticks in your head about it. He's like, well, what's wrong? You look uncomfortable. And I'm like, I gotta roll around on the floor for a little bit. He goes, why? I was like, I have to fart. I can't fart. And he's like, go roll around. And then that was the weird thing in our house. You okay?
You go roll
around.
Do you
need to go sit on the toilet or you need to roll around? Like, I gotta roll around and fart. Sorry, man.
Yeah. Humans
Real
are
life,
cool
man.
And gross.
Dude, yeah. Science, man, that shit's gonna find its way out. You just roll around on the floor. This is too much fun. This is what
I know.
Happens. So this or that, we ask you a question. It's two choices. You just have to pick the choice. Rapid fire.
Choose your choice.
Choose through it. Choose your choice.
Choose my own choice.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Gummy bears or gummy worms?
Gummy bears.
Red carpet ready or casual Friday?
Red carpet ready.
Ooh.
Netflix or movie theater?
Oh, movie theater.
Chocolate or strawberry?
Chocolate.
Ooh. Nightlife or day drinking?
I used to love both.
I know. I knew this would be a hard choice.
Date and night.
There must always be night, but ever since, like, recently as I got older, I think this day, there's something to this day drinking.
I'm telling you. I agree with that.
And then you can turn in early.
The hangover's not so bad. Right?
Yeah. Agreed.
You get dinner after.
Right.
Yeah.
Ghosts or witches?
Oh, ghosts.
Ooh.
Okay. For acting, drama or comedy? Which role do you like better?
Oh, both. Yeah. I mean,
dramedy.
Yeah.
Ooh, dramedy.
Well, dramedy.
I like it.
Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Well, that leads us into perfect opening.
Okay. Yeah. Is it a hot chip? I hope it's not a hot chip.
No.
Oh, my God. That, whatever that fucking.
Baja Ratali? Baja Ratali? They're called crispy. Crispy cracker?
Okay.
Yas. This is also Turkish. Best part is, sometimes they have images of what's inside, and sometimes the images have nothing to do with what's inside.
It's so great.
And this is a question. These look like,
they look
like sour cream and onion chips, but it says cracker. So, but in other countries, chips are crackers, crackers are chips, fries are chips.
I don't know.
Well, yeah, chips are fries, cookies are biscuits.
Wafers,
but also.
Well, who knows about turkey? It does not contain lard and its derivatives.
Derivative.
That's in English.
That sounds like Olestra, that shit that used to make you have anal leakage.
We don't. That's maybe why the baked Lays. Remember the rumor about baked Lays?
The baked Lays make you, like, you shit your ass.
Anal leak. No, just like a drip, like a slow drip. Oof. So, they're like teeny. They're way smaller than what I thought they would be. And they're way less ridgy.
I hope they are good because I'm a little.
They smell good.
I feel real snacky.
I'm like peckish.
Ooh. Oh, I don't know about the smell.
Oh, okay. They remind me of something I'm eating with extra stuff on it.
You know, I really gave myself a large handful for a first try thing.
Oh, it just tastes like a,
Oh, it's something I've eaten
before.
Oh,
my God. This.
With extra.
Okay.
Like an extra seasoning.
So this is the veggie crackers
that
have the, like the green, baked,
like almost like chicken and a biscuit, but like in that
same. Oh, my God. Chicken and a biscuit.
Chicken and a biscuit.
Oh, I just got. You guys, chicken and a biscuit is one of my favorite to this
day. Samesies. So, this is legit.
That's pretty good.
And there,
this is chicken
it has
and a biscuit.
Extra though. It's got an extra seasoning. I can't place oregano.
It's called a derivative.
It's like a ranch chicken and a biscuit.
Yes.
Paprika. Onion, garlic powder.
This is
thyme,
really
garlic,
good.
Parsley, onion, thyme. I'm tasting a little bit of Thanksgiving.
Are you getting a note of thyme in there?
It's about time.
On the nose.
Getting some notes.
I'm getting a. A Himalayan sea salt.
Do you want it? Yeah,
give me another one of those.
You were very dainty with this. I'm like, first tries, Bonnie goes hard.
I already ate like six.
These are pretty good.
I would
just dip these in straight up sour cream because it already tastes like dip.
Did you guys used to put cheese whiz on your chicken and biscuits?
Fuck yeah.
Cheese whiz, and then when I was in college, my favorite go-to snack was... any flavor of the Philly cream cheeses. And I knew my roommates wouldn't eat the salmon one, and into it. So I was like, salmon and chicken and biscuit, and they're like, that's all of it. It's gross. And I was like, yeah, it's for me. But these would be good with just straight up, like, whipped cream cheese.
Oh, that'd be good. That's really good.
Yeah.
Thanks, Turkey.
That's one of our better savory first
tries. By the brand... Ulker? Ulker's got the umlauts.
Umlauts?
Is Turkish umlauts same as...
I don't know.
Ulker?
Ulker?
I don't know.
Ulker crispy.
Ulker crispy.
We're not good at accents from other countries.
I'm not good at accents.
I wasn't doing an accent. I was just trying to, like...
Pronounce it.
Pronounce words that I do not know. I don't got it.
That's very tasty.
Yeah. Those are a winner.
I like that. That has my vote, actually. Oh, is it getting you right here?
Get the bite. The Salvatore.
The bite in the back.
It's like that powdered ranch seasoning. Oh
yeah. So
did you see that they now made a shaker ranch seasoning?
Yeah, I bought it and put it in sour cream this
weekend. To make ranch?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You can put it on anything.
Popcorn? You could put it on everything. I want to take popcorn and bacon bits and then shake that in there with a little bit of butter and make like super
bacon
yummy
ranch.
Fat girl snack. It's so good.
I know.
So
well, this is getting now to the part of the show where we make ourselves really hungry. We get extra hungry and we like to end most of the shows by being like, we need to go get a snack.
We do. Which is totally going to happen after an uncomfortable part of the interview.
Oh,
you might love it.
Because this is where we shower you with praise and compliments.
Oh.
Because.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Or
with
just
that.
Like, shit, I'll bring it down.
Ugh, bring it down.
Okay.
Why not? Why not be fine with that? What's wrong with that? It is just so be showered hard.
This is
love
why
and
we started a podcast called You Are That, though, because
it is
we,
so
honestly, we use You Are That for so long as deflecting. Yeah. So like, oh my gosh, you guys are creative. We're like, you are that.
Yeah.
Like, and we just like tap dance out of the room. We're like, oh, I hate it. It's a gross feeling. Even so we try to give people that feeling because we're assholes.
Awesome. I get it. But I'll tell you the thing that I learned is to just say thank you. And it's enough. Yes. I think the thing of it is what makes it uncomfortable is you don't know what to say to reciprocate it.
Yes.
That will feel like it's enough. So if someone 100%. Says, oh, you have this, you want to be like, you do.
Yes.
Because you want to return that. But if you just say thank you because that was a kind thing to say. And I appreciate it. And I receive that love from you. And just say thank you. So now it's taught me, like, honestly, when people are like, oh, love this or whatever. And I'm like, thank you. Thank you. That's very kind of you to say. That's my return to everything because that's enough.
Yeah.
That's enough to say. True. And you know, you don't have to be like, have a nice flight. You too. Oh, that's right. You're not taking a flight. What have we done?
That's
here?
The awkward
thing.
And
then you're like,
you've made it worse.
It's, right. I compared that awkward feeling of like the grocery store person being like, have a fun party. And you're like, you too. I didn't invite you to my party.
Right.
To when you wave at a stranger you thought was your friend and they see you.
I pinched somebody on the butt once. I was convinced, and they turned around, and I was like, thought you were someone else, but also you're welcome.
See, she's better at this than we are. We actually need to take lessons from that.
I know.
So,
I don't know, man.
You are more delightful than I thought you would be in person, even. And
she's
I thought
been
you were
going to
be
that. That is not a compliment.
No, it is not. No, what I was saying is, no.
That, you need to work on your compliments, because that is not a compliment.
You're more delightful than I thought you were going to be in person.
She's infatuated in love with you. And now saying, she loves you more.
That's saying a lot, because I thought you were going to be delightful in person, because I lurk your Instagram. And...
That's
you,
fair, I accept that.
You and your boyfriend are 100% relationship goals, because you guys, even through pictures on Instagram...
Her eyes are gleaming.
No, seriously. You guys seriously, like, shower each other with love and compliments and everything in a way that even is genuine on Instagram, which is the world of false lives and whatnot. But you guys are, like, putting each other up and, like, celebrating.
He's smoking.
And, like,
I'm seeing pictures of you guys all over.
And he's sitting there, he's like... just looking at you like, that's my heart walking over there. This is so cute. You guys are so fucking cute. I love it.
He's the best. He's honestly like, it's so weird. I used to loathe when people would say things like, I'm marrying my best friend. But it's true. Like, you become each other's best friends in the way that, like, he's just the person I enjoy doing life with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's it. That's it really shows. What it comes down to. And
when you're celebrating stuff, you're like, I want them to be there because I want to share it with them.
And it was really important to me. I was never looking for, I was single for a very long time. I had a boyfriend in high school, and then I had a boyfriend in my mid-20s, and that's it. Like, I've been very single. I mean, I've taken a lot of D's, but like, that's just because I'm
some lavas. you have a lot to get.
But I definitely was never interested in a relationship, because I never really thought I could find somebody who was willing to live within the parameters of what someone like me demands. And that is that, like, one thing that we agreed upon, you know, he's a musician, from the very beginning, is we would always be each other's mistresses to our first love, which is our...
That's amazing. That.
You know what I mean?
That's fucking genius, because industry people that date one another, oh God, is that hard to watch?
It is. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you have to understand that before you came along, there was this, and it will be there after you if
it's
that becomes a thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's part of, if you're going to love me, it's part of what makes me who I am. And I think because we both have that, we both understand it and want to protect that in one another. So we have that, where we both have our own passions, but they're different enough where we don't compete.
Right.
Like, I'd never date another actor, because fuck that noise.
Yeah.
Right. Musicians that date also, I don't feel like they work.
Unless, very strange thing.
No, you're breaking the up the band.
It has to be your own, too. Yeah. Like, this has to be my thing, and that has to be his. You know what I mean? Like, he might ask me, I mean, I write music as well, but like, so he might ask me, like, what do you think of this or whatever, or you know, I'll be like, oh, is this funny? But at the end of the day, it's ours, and it belongs to us, and it's incredibly important that we have our own things that we're each bringing to the table. Yeah. So I think it's just about really that. And also, like, we started off this relationship in a place of complete and utter transparency. We actually met on Tinder, and we spoke on the phone for like the first 72 hours nonstop. And he actually said, like, we were just getting along right away. We had like great witty play. He actually said to me, what if we did something really different? This was like on day two. He was like, what if we, instead of in the very beginning when people really want to like put their best selves out there, mm-hmm. what if instead of like selling ourselves like everyone tries to do, yeah. what if we were just honest about everything that's fucked up?
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, cool. I'll go first. I have abandonment issues because my mom died and I'm a type A control freak and I have like a little bit of OCD and like my, I get insecure about this and I got baggage and I got trust issues and I can be a little jealous sometimes and like all this kind of stuff and like went in all of this and he was like, I just lost my brother and so, you know, I have fear of this and I'm a full Libra. I can't make decisions and I'm afraid about being complacent. And like, ooh. We just really like went into all of this and we're like, let's decide right now if we want to go down this road any further.
I can't fix you, but can I accept all right, this bucket exactly. of crazy?
And also, does my crazy compliment your crazy?
Yeah.
Right. You just said Libra can't commit, can't, and,
right.
type and I'm a control and like, freak. Yeah. You're like, you ready to go on this ride with me? And he's yep. like, I have questions, but I'm with
right,
you.
Right, like, right.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah.
So we kind of did that first and it was weird and we were very emotionally slutty, but like nice. we just kind of did that. And then we were like, okay, now let's meet in person and see if everything that we have here is there.
Yeah.
And
you could have like womp womp.
And then we met out. November 1st, 2016, almost 3 years ago. We've been inseparable ever since.
Oh my God.
So it just worked. It just really, really worked.
And you just
worked.
Know it when it does. That's yeah. the dumbest cliche thing, but it is so fucking true. Like I knew I was going to marry my husband after like the third date.
Right.
And we just like, it was like we just made an agreement about it. And I was like, so we're going to do this. And like, eventually you'll propose, but I'm already planning our wedding. So this right. is just going to be the thing. He's like, yeah, it's totally fine. It's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really strange. And it just, you know, I mean, I think I've self-sabotaged it as many times as one human being can try to self-sabotage your own happiness.
I agree
especially
with this
in the
too.
First year. And after he put up with me trying to do that, that's when I knew he really loved me.
Right.
Because he saw past the antics and saw me working through my shit mm-hmm. and was like, I'll wait.
Yeah.
I'll wait. I see what you're
she'll,
doing.
She'll
I'll
run
wait.
The course. Yeah.
And I really tested him and put him through all of that. And he was just like, okay. And he you know, he didn't take the bait.
Yeah.
Like he just saw past what it was. And he's 5 years younger than I am. So he like
yeah. our stories are hella parallel.
Are yeah.
Very yeah. you're like describing my relationship like it
that.
Wasn't Tinder, it was Bumble, but we were right. both on the other we were both on Tinder. We just right. happened to meet on the kinder side, the more acceptable
right.
side of it. But I was all over the place. And I met him and I was like, I don't want to be in a relationship. I don't want this. Mm-hmm. You have kids. I don't want kids. I don't right. want baby mama
I don't
drama.
Chew other people's gum.
I don't want
other people's kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like, I just had it like, I know what I want. I don't want this. I don't want this. And then he popped
You're like,
up.
Cut to now I can't live without the children.
Yeah.
And cut like, to ever like.
It undid so
it's
many of her rules.
Crazy. From but he was also like, it, I accept all this.
It's
and
been
I was
really
like,
cool to watch him dismantle her shit and vice versa,
right,
like you
right,
were talking
right.
about.
It dismantles such a beautiful word to use because that's exactly what it is. It's somebody who carefully allows you to fall apart in front of them and yeah. they just take the piece and they mm-hmm. set it down gently and wait
yes.
for you to like that if an inanimate object is acting up when I'm stressed out and trying to go to an audition, I will throw that across the room.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know that that looks like crazy behavior. Mm-hmm. And I know that you can't understand that. And I am going to walk over there and pick it up in 2 seconds because I recognize that I'm a full-blown psychopath.
Right.
But, like, I need you to just not judge me in this
just
moment.
Just let me have my
I need the thing to
minute.
Fly past your face
yeah.
and you to say,
that's fine.
That didn't even hit me.
Right.
Don't even look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
Just let me just, I need to tantrum for, like, half a second.
Because I do. Like, we
yeah.
do. We have our moments and then
oh,
you're like.
Oh, God.
And then because
it
you fear the judgment,
when you're alone
no,
either.
Then caught myself like being in a place and being like, oh, I'm full blown picking a fight right now.
Yes. Shannon's been chatting with you. I had like, no, I just rolling in here blind. I'm super in love with you.
Aww.
Like first time meeting,
you
you're
be.
Super cute. You're adorable. I collect tiny little friends. So I hugged you and was like, oh my God, she's my people. Like I feel like a guardian. And but you're so like bold and charming. And I feel like you and I share like all three of us, mm-hmm. we probably share like same childhood memories,
oh, yeah.
which is just really fun when you connect with someone on a weird level of like, yeah. oh, you remember this, and this
yeah.
is the whole point of the podcast.
I would
and
have
I'm
shoplifted
so into
with
it.
You. I feel like oh, we would have
God.
Stole from Plaid
yeah.
Pantry together.
Oh yeah,
oh, banaca,
so
just all the banaca,
just
the
Fun Dip and Sprite. We
yeah.
just go hide.
Oh,
it'd be great.
Yeah, this
yeah.
is so fun, and I feel oh. like we could do this all day. And I'm
seriously.
Thank you for having us in your home.
Yes.
Thank you for
beautiful.
Coming to my
your
home.
Puppy is beautiful and now
well,
passed out.
No,
oh, what's up? She looks like a golden girl now. Look at her. Look at her. Oh.
She's like, I can't with you bitches.
So sweet. Now she's and over it. We super appreciate you having us and being
seriously.
On.
Seriously.
Yes, thank you're you for having star. Me.
And we're excited. Like, I feel like you're going to get snagged up for, you're going to get like a bunch of offers of random
I hope so.
Stuff. And you're just going to be like, you're going to be like, you know what? I'm being picky right now because I need to find.
I have all these offers on the table?
My next one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From your lips to somebody's ears.
Yes.
It's time. I'm heck ready yeah. to get back to work.
Well, we love you. Please keep us posted.
Thank
seriously.
You.
And we'll call it a wrap. Let's go get something to eat.
Go to In-N-Out. It's time for In-N-Out. Yes. Yeah.
All right.
You bye. Guys better get double doubles.
Animal style.
Yes.
If you had fun and you want to follow along, Facebook group that is pretty bomb. We are on Facebook as You Are That.
You can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/ You Are That. And there are multiple tiers where you can contribute to the fun. Ask questions.
So we have a merch store now. youarethatmerch.com. So you can head right over there and look at our goodies.
You can also find us on Instagram and Twitter under No, You Are That. Don't forget to high five us by rate, reviewing, subscribing, all those good things that everybody says about podcasts. Do that to ours. That would be so solid. We would love it.
Is it a hot chip? I hope it's not a hot chip.
No. Through the magic of podcasting, time has lapsed and life has gone on since we went down and did our interviews in California. And in the meantime, our beloved Carly has got herself engaged. So from the Yat sisters, congratulations. And we hope you live a loving, wonderful, caring, married life where you drive each other batshit crazy. Forever and ever, amen. Congratulations!
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.